The following is a production of Vanderbilt's Owen Graduate School of Management. For more information about Owen, please visit owen.vanderbilt.edu.
This is Rob Simbeck for the Vanderbilt Owen Graduate School of Management. I'm here today to talk with Bruce Berry, professor of management and sociology and the author of Speechless, The Erosion of Free Expression in the American Workplace. More than ever, we are hearing stories about employees who face sanctions up to and including dismissal for speech-related activities from blogs to political campaigns. In his new book, Berry argues that employees' free speech rights are increasingly in jeopardy, and that trend is weakening the very fabric of civic participation. Bruce, how are free speech and the workplace clashing these days?
Well, I think they're clashing uncomfortably. What I'm interested in are situations where people speak. It could be on some subject related to work, not related to work. It could be during the workday, after the workday, on the premises, off the premises. Speech of any kind that arouses the interest and the attention of the employer and leads it to regard that speech with some level of disapproval and perhaps take some action against the employee. And I think that this collision is, I use the word uncomfortable because I think we're seeing employers increasingly willing to police employee speech, increasingly inclined to be alarmed about it and to take some action. And I think this is not just a problem for workplaces, I think it's a problem for employees as they try to live their lives, both their work lives and their civic lives on and off the job, because it says to them that your speech and your job are potentially in tension with one another.
What's clashing here that's raising the or lowering the bar or making them more likely to happen, that they're clashing?
Well, I think taking a long view, that is a view of sort of decades rather than just year to year, I think there are some things happening that suggest that perhaps employee speech rights are eroding. On the employer's side, I think we see companies behaving in different ways toward employee speech. Firms ever more concerned about guarding, with some justification, their brand, their reputation, their image. We see changes in the nature of work and the nature of jobs that I think are relevant here. We have employees who no longer can regard, of course, a job as equivalent to a career. People who switch jobs over the course of a working lifetime leads to, I think, a kind of self-censorship where employees have to be worried about the effect of whatever kind of speech they engage in on their future career prospects. And as job security is diminished for many American workers, I think that puts their speech more at risk. Another factor that I think is changing the landscape here is technology. People communicating in different ways than they did 10, 20, 30 years ago, some of which is sort of wonderful, in a sense, promotes more free speech, right? People yammering away on all sorts of topics on blogs and websites and wikis and through email and instant messaging. You could almost say it's a golden age for free speech. But these same tools that make it possible to engage in so much wonderful speech, they also make all of that speech permanently archived, permanently searchable and actionable. Your speech never goes away, if you will. I'm not even sure that some of the speech is all that new, but what it is it's communicated instantly and permanently to the entire universe. And these same technological tools that make all this speech possible make it increasingly possible for employers to police that speech, to find it if they want, to search for it, and to act upon it.
What turned this into a book for you?
Well, I started thinking about this topic some years ago as a way to kind of connect two sides of my life. I've been teaching and writing about workplace behavior for a number of years. That's what I do. On the side, my kind of private activist life has been as a civil libertarian, thinking a lot about the Bill of Rights and public policy. And I started to imagine some years ago the connections between these two, the connections between rights, civil liberties, and society in a free society, and workplace behavior. And I specifically focused on this connection between free speech and working life, life at work and around work. And I originally, as an academic, figured, okay, well, I'll think deep thoughts and write an academic article or two about this and speak to my academic colleagues about it. But as I started thinking about it and talking to people, I started noticing examples where people get in trouble for their speech with their employers. And I discovered as I talked to people that almost everybody seems to know somebody who gets in trouble or has a story to tell me. And so what began as a sort of a confined small-scale project, maybe with an academic intention, grew into a larger scale project around law and public policy and the ethics associated with all of it, and eventually the book.
Was there a jaw dropper or two in there for you?
In terms of incidents, yes, certainly. And one that I opened the book with that drops a lot of jaws is the woman in Alabama who 3 years ago in 2004, a few months before the presidential election of that year, was fired because her boss didn't like the John Kerry for President bumper sticker on her car in the factory parking lot. And that's a remarkable story. It's a bit of an extreme one. I certainly hope that most of my former students as managers now aren't spending their time roaming around parking lots looking for bumper stickers. But if it's an extreme story, it's also an important one because it illustrates the scope of employer power. For private employers, there are no First Amendment free speech rights for workers working on private property, and employment law in this country gives employers the right to fire people for just about any reason. And so it was legal for this employer to fire this worker, but still people find it remarkable. So that's one jaw-dropper. I'll mention another jaw-dropper, which is not in my book, because I just learned about it about an hour ago. It happened the other day in Florida. I think it's in Florida, am I right? Where the employee, it may have been in Atlantic City, in fact, not Florida, employee of a casino who has contracted lung cancer, presumably from secondhand smoke from working for years at this casino, appeared before a local governmental body that was exploring possibly putting in place a law that would restrict smoking at casinos. And the casino fired him for testifying before this legislative panel, and an example where his free speech didn't really meet his employer's expectations.
What are the stakes here as far as you're concerned, and how would you like us as a society to look at this?
Well, I think the stakes are important, and they go beyond just what workplaces look like. The idea that employers sometimes come down too harshly on free speech, they fire a blogger for some mildly subversive speech on a blog, or, of course, the extreme example like a bumper sticker or somebody involved in some political activism in the community. Yeah, we can look at examples like that and we can say, well, that the workplace perhaps would be a little less overbearing and tyrannical if employers would be a little more tolerant of that kind of workplace worker speech. And I think that's true. But I think the stakes are broader than that. I won't argue that people are being fired for blogs and bumper stickers every day rampantly by numerous companies. But when it happens, I think it sends a chilling message to just about everyone else. Employers are watching and listening. They're concerned about employee speech and how it affects their notion of what the business interests are, and they have the power and are sometimes willing to act on that power. And the message that sends to employees is, watch what you say, be careful of how you choose to get involved in politics, in your community, in artistic or creative expression, because if it meets with employer disapproval, your job may be in jeopardy. And I think the stakes here are very significant. We talk all the time about how civic and political engagement in this country seems to be kind of on the wane, low voter participation compared to lots of countries we like to compare ourselves to, that sort of thing. And what the climate for employee free speech contributes to this is the sense that one reason why people might be somewhat disengaged is because they know that their job security is at risk as a result of potentially their speech, their civic engagement. So I think this is harmful, not just for workplaces. I think it's harmful for the state of our democracy, for the health of a deliberative democracy and a free society.
And where do we look now for rationality within this? What's the hope for dealing with this?
Well, the reason employers have so much power to do this is largely because of the law. The law, constitutional law, doesn't extend the Bill of Rights to private sector situations, to the private sector workplace. Employment law, as I mentioned, gives employers the power to fire people for just about any reason or for no reason. And so part of the solution is to change the law. And I talk at some length in the book about that. I might like to change constitutional law, change the fundamental premises of employment law to do away with the system we call employment at will. There's a lot of people who would like to do that. It's not likely to happen anytime soon. But there are some small incremental legal things that we can do that could improve the climate. For example, a lot of employment law is state by state, and there are some states that have in place some legal protections for workers against their employers being able to punish them for stuff they do off work that's legal and doesn't interfere with the business. Only fewer than five states have a good law, a good broad-based law like that. And I'd like to see the other 45 or 46 states mimic that. So through state-by-state legislative action, we could make some progress, and there are other forms that could take as well. But a big part of I think, the solution here is not just about the law. It's about how managers and executives think about workplaces and their relationship to free speech. The law gives employers all this power to fire people for their speech, but it doesn't require them to do so. But yet, many employers do because of their concerns about how it might affect the business. And I think we've conditioned employers, we've conditioned executives and business leaders to think too automatically and too reflexively about the idea that the relationship between them and their workers is this sort of two-sided labor market transaction. You sell me your labor, and I pay you for it, and that's the end of it. And I think that ignores the fact that people don't just come to work and sell their labor. They actually live out their lives at work. Work is where people interact with other adults. It's where they form themselves, not just their work selves, their professional selves. It's where they form their civic, their community identities. And I think that employers would do well to change their mindset a bit, to understand that this two-sided labor market transaction actually exists within a broader society, a free society, a democratic society, where employees have lives as citizens and as civic participants, not just as employees. And that it's unrealistic to expect people to sort of check their citizenship at the door when they enter the workplace. It's not always so clear for an increasing number of workers where the workplace and the work day begins and ends. So for me, a big part of the solution is trying to get employers, the people we train, business executives and leaders, to think differently about the intersection between free speech and employment.
Thank you, Bruce. Bruce Berry is the author of Speechless, The Erosion of Free Expression in the American Workplace. For the Vanderbilt Owen Graduate School of Management, this is Rob Simbeck. The faculty of the Vanderbilt Owen Graduate School offer timely, relevant business insights and advice through Owen Intelligence. To subscribe or view past issues, visit owen.vanderbilt.edu.